Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to Virtual VBS. Virtual VBS? Yeah, it's kind of different this year, isn't it? I mean, you can see me, but I can't see you. But there are some things that are going to be the same. We're going to have songs. We're going to have Bible memory. We're going to have Bible lessons. We'll have a story. We'll have crafts. So I hope that you have a good time this year. We have so many. Mr. B, it's so good to see our favorite Presbyterian with us today. So good to see you. What did you come? Oh, he wanted to say hello to the boys and girls. Well, say hello to them. Very good. Say hello to Mr. B. Very nice. All right. Well, thank you for coming, and we're going to see you tomorrow too, okay? All right. Bye-bye. Well, before we get started, boys and girls, I want to begin with a word of prayer. So let's close your eyes and bow your heads and let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity that we have to gather together through this technology. We pray that You will be with us. We pray that You will be with each boy and girl and help them to see the Lord Jesus Christ as we sing the songs, as we hear the Bible stories. We pray that in listening and singing and in listening and all the stories that we hear, we pray that we might become more like Jesus Christ. Help us to do so. Help us to honor Him in everything that we do this week. We pray Your presence and Your blessing with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, boys and girls, let's get started with some songs. Dr. Overly is going to lead us in some singing.
Welcome to the first day of Bible school, boys and girls. We're going to begin by singing our theme song, "The Bible Stands Like a Rock Undaunted."
Hello, boys and girls. My name is Mrs. Brown, and I'm going to take you on a mission trip. Usually, when people go on mission trips, they go to help out missionaries. They might help them by building or painting or repairing things, or they might pass out tracts or do a vacation Bible school. It would be nice if we could help missionaries, but since our mission trip is make-believe, we aren't going to be able to build or paint or hand out tracts. Instead of going to help out, we're going to find out. First, let's find out where we're going today. we're going to the Czech Republic. Do you know where that is? The Czech Republic is in Europe. In fact, it's pretty much right in the middle of Europe. It's about the same size as South Carolina, but it's a long way from South Carolina. Now, let's find out some fun facts about the Czech Republic. Here's one. The Czech Republic is called the castle capital of the world. They have over 2,000 castles still standing after hundreds and hundreds of years. Many people visit the country to tour some of the most famous castles. Here's another fun fact. The sugar cube was invented in the Czech Republic. Do you know what a sugar cube is? We usually use granulated sugar and serve it with a spoon, but in the early days, sugar came in a solid loaf that was shaped like a big bullet. You had to cut chunks off to use it. You can imagine how hard that would be. One day, a man in the Czech Republic figured out how to make sugar in small cubes so that it was easy to pick up a few and put them in your tea. Here's our last fun fact for today's trip. Do you know someone who wears contact lenses? I hope you don't have to wear them, but maybe your parents do so that they can see better. It used to be that everyone who didn't see well had to wear glasses. Then someone figured out how to make small, hard lenses that people could put right on their eyeballs to help them see. But those first lenses were very uncomfortable. A man in the Czech Republic figured out a way to make the lenses out of very soft material so that the person wearing them doesn't feel them at all. Wasn't that man smart? There are a lot of smart people in the Czech Republic. They value education very highly and are some of the best educated people in Europe. Sadly, although they are well educated in worldly things, they have very little interest in spiritual things. In fact, it is said that the Czech Republic is the most atheistic country in the world. Do you know what atheism is? Atheism is the belief that there is no God. Isn't it sad to think about so many people not knowing and not wanting to know the God of heaven who can save them from their sins? That brings us to the people we want to meet in the Czech Republic. They are the Schultz family. This is Reverend Miloš Schultz and his wife Martina. Their name is spelled S-O-L-C, and you would think it would be pronounced Solk, but it is a Czech name, and so you say Schultz. Mr. Schultz was born in the Czech Republic, but he lived in Canada for many years until the Lord burdened his heart to go back to his homeland to give the gospel to the people there. This is a picture of his wife and children in the center of Prague, the capital of the country. Mrs. Schultz is in the center. Around her from left to right are the children, Caleb, Abigail, Levi, Timothy, and Miloš Jr. The Schultzes have been living in the Czech Republic for 12 years now. They have learned that you have to be very patient in an atheistic society as you seek to teach people to know and love God. You have to show them love and kindness, living a faithful Christian testimony before them. It may take many years for people to even start to listen to you about believing in God. The Schultz's son Timothy, who is 18, says that 1 Peter 2:15 means a lot to him as he seeks to be a missionary in his high school. The verse says, "For so is the will of God, that through well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." The people in the Czech Republic and anywhere else who don't believe in God are foolish men. They are foolish because they are ignorant of God. They don't know Him. This verse tells us that the way to teach these people about God is by doing well, by living out the love of Christ in a faithful and patient way. That is what the Schultzes are asking the Lord to help them do as they preach and teach, invite people into their home, and just be good friends and neighbors to them. Do you know anyone who doesn't believe in God? Ask the Lord to help you be kind to them so that they will see the love of Christ in you. Well, it's time for our mission trip for today to come to an end, but before we finish, we need to do one more thing. At the beginning, I said that since our mission trips are make-believe, we can't really help out the missionaries, so we were going to find out about them instead. But you know, there is a way we can help the missionaries, even if we can't actually go to see them. Have you guessed what it is? That's right. We can pray for them. What should we ask the Lord to do for the Schultzes? Let's ask the Lord to give them faithfulness and fruit. They need faithfulness to keep loving people and being kind to them until they're ready to listen to the gospel. And then they need fruit. They need to see the Lord save more souls. Can you remember that? Faithfulness and fruit. That's what we're praying for the Schultzes. Well, kids, that's the end of our mission trip for today. I'll see you next time.
Boys and girls, this week during our VBS, we're listening to the parables, some of the parables that the Lord Jesus Christ told while he was here on earth. And the reason he told parables was to talk about who he was and what his mission was. And that's the same reason why we're learning Bible verses. The Bible verses that we're going to be learning this week will talk about the main mission why the Lord came to this earth, and that was to save poor sinners. So the Bible verses that we're going to be memorizing are talking about our Savior and his plan for salvation for those people that he came to save. The first Bible verse that we're going to learn is actually two verses, Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. Listen as I read these verses and follow along. Romans 3:10 and 23. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This Bible verse says that there is no one who is good enough to please God. We're all sinners. We've all done things wrong. We've broken the commandments of God. And the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. For all, that means everybody, has sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means none of us measure up to God's glory. So let's learn this verse together, shall we? Listen as I say it again. Romans 3:10 and 23. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now you say it along with me. Say the reference where it's found first, and then we'll say the verse together. All right, let's read it together. Romans 3:10 and 23. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, let's say it again. This time you'll notice that I've put some blanks in there. Can you fill in the blanks? Let's try it. Romans 3:10 and 23. As it is written, there is none, that's right, righteous, no, not one. For, what word goes in that blank? All, that's right, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now let's say it one more time. Romans 3:10 and 23. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Very good, boys and girls.
Hurry up, Ruth. VBS starts today.
Where are you going?
To VBS.
It's virtual VBS this year.
What?
Yeah, it should be starting any minute. Come watch.
Does that mean we get snack time the entire time? Time to pop some popcorn.
You know Mom won't let us eat on the couch.
Oh, well, it was a great thought. I can't wait to see VBS.
Hi, my name is Mr. Pinkston. This year, our Daily Vacation Bible School deals with parables that Jesus told. A parable is a special kind of story. Do you like stories? Most people like a well-told story. But what good is a story? That is what we're going to be talking about in the next few days. We want to discover different kinds of stories and the real value of a story. To do that, let's start with some simple stories. We'll begin with some of the oldest stories, fables. Probably the best known ancient fable teller was Aesop. As best we can tell, he was a Greek slave that lived about 300 years before Jesus. One of his most famous fables is the tortoise and the hare. One day, a hare was making fun of the tortoise for being so slow. "Do you ever get anywhere, Mr. Tortoise?"
"Yes, Mr. Hare, and I get there sooner than you think. And I'll race you to prove it."
The hare thought running a race with a tortoise would be hilarious. The fox, who consented to act as judge, marked out the distance and started the race. "On your mark, get set, go!" The hare was soon far out of sight, and to make the tortoise know how ridiculous it was for him to try to race with a hare, he lay down beside the course to take a nap, waiting for the tortoise to catch up. The tortoise just kept going slowly but steadily. After a time, he passed the napping hare. When the hare did wake up, he saw the tortoise was near the finish line. The hare ran as fast as he could, but he could not catch up in time. The tortoise won the race. And the moral is, the swift do not always win the race. This story demonstrates the main characteristics of a fable. It is short and usually only has one happening, the race. It has animals or other things like the sun, a river, or a tree thinking and talking like people. There's a big word for this. Anthropomorphism. Anthro means human. Morph means in the form of or acting like. Anthropomorphism is when something that is not human acts like a human. The hare, the tortoise, and the fox were anthropomorphisms. It happens all the time in fables and in other kinds of stories. And finally, a fable has a moral. In other words, it teaches something. The tortoise and the hare fable teaches that slow and steady is often better than fast and careless. Here's another Aesop fable. A heron was walking along the river bank, his eyes on the water and his long neck and pointed bill ready to snap up his breakfast. The clear water swarmed with small fish. No tiny fish for me. Such scanty fare is not fit for a heron. A fine young perch swam near. I wouldn't even open my beak for anything like that. As the sun rose, the fish left the shallow water and swam into the cool depths in the middle of the river. The heron saw no more fish. At last, he had only a tiny snail for his breakfast. It's a short story. The heron acted like a human. That's anthropomorphism. And there's a moral. What do you think the moral is? It can be stated in different ways. Don't be too picky. Or, if you are too hard to please, you may have to settle for the worst or nothing at all. A fable catches our interests with its anthropomorphisms and holds our attention just long enough to communicate its message, the moral. Are fables true? No. They are made-up stories. So, what good are they? The true value of any story is the message it teaches. If the fable teaches a good lesson and does it in a memorable way, it can be a valuable story. Today, thousands of years after Aesop told the fable of the tortoise and the hare, people still use it to remind someone that haste makes wastes, or that being slow and careful is a good idea. The story is effective in teaching its moral. God did not use fables in the Bible to teach us spiritual lessons, but there is a record of what many people recognize as a fable in the Bible. It seems that one Jewish king, Joash, had just won a few battles against some small armies. Feeling a bit confident, he challenges King Amaziah to a battle and says, "After you lose, surrender your kingdom to me." Now, Amaziah had a much larger army and would easily win such a battle. He didn't even want to get involved. So in response, he tells Joash a fable. The thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, "Give thy daughter to my son to wife." And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. It has fable characteristics, a short story, with anthropomorphisms, talking trees and plants getting married. But the moral? Amaziah, the cedar tree, is telling Joash, the thistle, that he is not interested in the challenge. Some weaker nation, the ox, can take care of you. We cedar trees aren't concerned when some weed sprouts up. So the moral could be something like this. Don't try to win something by picking fights with stronger foes. Although the Bible doesn't contain fables, it does contain many other stories which God uses to teach spiritual lessons. Tomorrow, we'll talk more about different kinds of stories and how they teach. This week, all of our Bible lessons will be parables, a special kind of story that Jesus used to teach his disciples and us about spiritual things. Right now, let's learn about one of Jesus' parables, the parable of the sower, the seed, and the ground.
Hello, boys and girls. Our first parable of the week is one that God recorded in three books of the Bible. You can find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Also, after Jesus finished telling this parable, he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So boys and girls, use those ears that God has given you and listen to the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. Great crowds of people had come to the seashore one day to hear Jesus teach and perhaps watch him work some miracles. There were people from all of the nearby towns. In fact, there were so many people that Jesus decided to get into a ship, a little boat, really. And there he went out onto the water a little way and sat in the boat and taught the people as they stood on the seashore. Jesus said, "A sower went forth to sow." Now, when you and I hear the word sower, we probably think of someone who sews clothing with a needle and thread. But the word sower in the Bible, it sounds exactly the same as that word, but it's spelled just a little bit differently. And it means a person who plants seeds or crops, like a farmer. So Jesus said that a farmer went forth to sow seed. And he said some of the seeds fell by the wayside, on the pathway where people walked. And those seeds, that soil wasn't plowed or cultivated, so no plants grew. In fact, Jesus said that the birds of the air came and ate the seeds that fell on the wayside. Other seed, Jesus said, fell on stony ground. Now, this was ground that had a thin layer of soil, but underneath were rocks. But because there was soil, the plants began to grow. In fact, Jesus said that plants sprang up quickly, but their roots couldn't go down deep into the soil to get moisture that it needed for the plants, because the rocks were there. So the plants grew, but when the sun came out and shone and beat on that plant, well, that crop, it couldn't thrive. It withered and died. So it didn't bring forth any fruit for the sower. Other seeds, Jesus said, fell among thorns. Now these seeds grew roots and the plants began to grow. But as the plants grew, so did the thorns and the weeds. And Jesus said the thorns choked those young plants, and they too couldn't bring forth any fruit for the farmer. But other seed, Jesus said, fell on good ground, on rich, fertile soil that the farmer plowed and cultivated. And those seeds had roots that went deep into the earth, getting the moisture and the nutrients that the plants needed. And soon plants began to spring up above the ground, and they grew tall and strong. And one day, fruit began to appear on those plants. Perhaps it was grain or corn or some other vegetable. Whatever kind of plant the farmer had planted, whatever seeds they were, that was the kind of fruit that grew on those plants. Jesus said some of the plants had a little bit of fruit, some had a lot of fruit, and some, he said, brought forth an hundredfold. That means there were lots and lots of, there was lots and lots of fruit, fruit in abundance. When Jesus finished this story, he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So keep listening, boys and girls, as Miss Rebecca tells us how Jesus explained the meaning of this parable.
Thank you, Miss Lisa, for telling us the story of the sower, the seed, and the soil. So what is the difference between a story and a parable? I often tell my little girls stories before they go to bed each night. And most of the time, they're just funny or silly stories that they like. However, sometimes I want them to learn a lesson through that story. And that's what a parable is. So what does Jesus want you to learn and me to learn through this story? Let's start with the seed. What do we know about the seed? The seed is a picture of God's word. It's how God's word is planted in our hearts. This seed, I don't know how many of you have a garden, but when you plant seeds, sometimes seeds go bad and they won't grow because the seed is not good. That's not the way it is with this seed. God's word is perfect. The Bible tells us that God never changes, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the same with his word. It is not going to change. It's not going to go bad. It will always be good. The next thing is the soil. And the soil is the way our hearts respond to God's word and the gospel. So the first type of soil, if you remember, was the hard ground, the roadside, the wayside. It was so hard that the seeds can't go down in there. And then the birds just take it away. It can't grow. This represents the heart that is hard to God, that hears God's word in their ears, but rejects it in their heart. They don't want anything to do with it. They may even run away from it, try to get away from it. They don't want anything to do with it. Just like the birds taking that seed away, they want to get rid of it. This is not where we want to be. But there's three other soils, remember? The second soil is the rocky soil. If you remember that this soil allows the plant to start to grow, but there's rocks underneath and it can't grow any further. This soil allows the plant to get started. When the sun comes out and it gets hard, the plant withers. This is the heart that wants to look like a Christian, that may want to start looking that way, but it doesn't have the roots deep down in the soil to support it. So when hard times come, they won't last. They don't have that true belief backing it up. The third type of soil is the thorny soil. And if you remember, this one also comes up. It sprouts up and looks like it's going to do great. But there's a lot of thorns around it and weeds, things that just choke out the plant and it can't grow. This is like the heart that may want to follow God, that may see it as like, this is a good thing I should do. But they don't want to give up their sin. They don't actually want to repent and turn away from their sin and turn to God. They leave that sin in their life, and that they cannot grow. They cannot have the fruit of true belief with all that sin in their life. The last soil is the good soil, and it is the soil that the roots can go down and it can grow big, and as it grows, it's going to produce the fruit that it's supposed to produce. That's the Christian that accepts the gospel, that learns and grows from the scriptures. They don't just hear it. They believe it. They trust it. And it helps them grow in their walk with God. And then they can produce the fruit that God wants them to produce. Some of them it may be tenfold. Some of them it may be 100-fold. So what type of soil is your heart? Is your heart responding to the gospel and God's word? Have you been pushing against it, not wanting to even hear it? Have you been trying to look like a Christian, but not allowing Christ to work in you to produce the fruit of true belief? Have you been living a life of sin? Will you try to live a life like a Christian? We are called to be holy. We are called to turn from our sin and turn to Christ alone, not hold on to those sins. I hope each one of you want to be your hearts to be good soil, and that as you hear the gospel this week in VBS, that it will be planted and that it can grow in good soil. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all the children watching today. I pray that you'd help them as their hearts may be hard right now, or maybe clinging to sin or thinking they've got it all together, Lord. I pray that you would just help them to be prepared to hear your word this week. Help them to come back each day with hearts that are ready to hear, not just hear with their ears, but to hear with their hearts and understand. Bless each one of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
I like parables. They make things easier to understand.
Can you remember the four types of ground?
Well, there was the rocky ground, the hard ground, thorny ground, and of course the good ground.
Great, but can you remember what they mean?
Well, the ground represents our hearts, and the seed represents God's word.
Yeah, I always think of the rocks and thorns and birds as the problem in the story, but it is actually our hearts that reject God's word.
Yeah, I haven't been listening in church or devotions very well lately. I don't want to have a heart that isn't hearing and responding to God's word.
If we don't hear and respond to God's word, we won't produce a good crop for God's glory.
How about we help each other remember before church and before family devotions to really learn and grow each time?
We could even quiz each other afterwards.
You never miss an opportunity to quiz me.
Of course I won't. I'm your big brother.
Okay, let's go see what's left on Virtual VBS now.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to our VBS Craft Corner. My name is Melanie, and I'm really glad that you can be with us today. First of all, I want to very quickly explain what the craft will be for the next 5 days, and then we'll get down to working on the first part of that as soon as we can. This year, we're going to be working on something called a diorama. And a diorama is a scene that captures a moment in time. So all this week, we will be thinking about the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I thought it would be really fun if we could make a mini village that would illustrate what life was like when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth. We're going to begin today by working on the background. And then as the week progresses, we will add more details that relate to the parables. So in the materials, I had said if you were able to get hold of a shoebox, that would be wonderful. Even a packaging box would be great, a pizza box, anything that can work as the background to our scene. So my box is an old Amazon packaging box, and it's a little bigger than what I had hoped for, but it'll do the job fine. So as you can see, what I've done so far is I've cut off the edges of my box here, and so this would have been the top part. And actually what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to stick it together here to extend the foreground of my scene a little bit more, and then I will be able to build the houses and the different elements that we will be making together later in the week, and we'll be able to set them up here on this part. So, but first of all, what I want to do is show you how to add the paper to the back of your box just to create the scene that you will be painting on. So first of all, we'll take some paper, and I have already taped together this, and I'm going to show you how to get the size correct. So if your box is quite large, you might need to tape some paper together, or you might only need one sheet of paper. So this is just regular printer paper that you probably have in your house already. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set it like this and place the box on top of it. So I want to work on the back piece of my box in here. So I'm going to set that directly onto the paper, get my pencil, and then I'm going to draw on the paper so that I know what size to cut out. Okay, and so we just have the pencil kind of rough markings on my paper, and then I'm going to take my scissors, and to make sure that it fits the box correctly, boys and girls, just cut slightly on the inside of that line that you've drawn. And if you're a smaller boy and girl, this would be a good time to maybe get mom or dad to help you with the scissors, or maybe an older brother and sister. So I want to make sure that this piece of paper fits inside my box. If I just put it in there, you can see that it fits really well. And just to remind you, boys and girls, this will make the back piece of my box. And you really just repeat the process the whole way around your box. You'll want to have a piece of paper that fits in the foreground section, a piece for here, and a piece for here. So I would just take a piece of paper again, lay it on the page, draw around it as before, just draw around the rectangle, and then cut it out and just double check that it fits into your box. And you want to do that on all sides that can be seen in the box, and then you paint on those, and that's all we have to do for this section of our craft. I'm going to begin by drawing a scene on this background piece, and when I think of that region of the world, I'm reminded of low-lying hills, maybe shrubs and trees, perhaps a body of water somewhere in the distance. And I also think of a golden coloured foreground. And these are some of the things that I'm going to try to get into my picture, and just to make it more realistic looking. As you can see, boys and girls, I've kept my picture very simple, and I have drawn some low hills, and then I will paint the sky blue in the background, and this is to represent the field that perhaps the sower and may have walked along sowing his seed. And so what I'm going to do now is just get my paints and start painting. And if you have paints, then you can go ahead and do that. Really, you can use whatever you have handy. It can be crayons or pencils or felt tip pens. Just use whatever you have available and whatever you enjoy using most. Boys and girls, this is one that I have been working on already and have finished, and I just wanted to show you that these are the side pieces that will cover the inside of your box. And as you can see, I haven't really drawn very much detail on them. Really all I did was extend the colour of the mountains out into this side, and the field out into this side, and the sky. So just to give it that kind of 3D effect, I suppose. So don't worry too much about the side pieces, but just paint them by extending the colour that you've already been using out. So the next thing I'm going to do is just take the pieces that I've painted on and stick them into my box, and that will be us finished for today. As you can see, I have stuck in my foreground, I have my two side pieces in, and now I'm just going to stick the background piece in place. Boys and girls, that's the end of our craft for today. I do hope you've enjoyed creating this background scene for our mini village. Please do come back tomorrow. We will make some mini 3D houses to go with our village, and I think that will be a super fun project for you as well. And this is the end of VBS for today as well. So we want to pray and talk to the Lord now and thank Him for this opportunity that we've had to hear the Bible verses and the story and to sing and even for the craft. So if you're still working on your craft right now, if you could just stop for a moment until we talk to the Lord and thank Him for the day that we've had together. Our dear Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you for each boy and each girl who has spent the time here today in our virtual VBS. And Lord, we are so thankful for the means that even though we haven't been able to have VBS in the normal fashion this year, we are thankful for the means that allow us to conduct VBS in this way. And we pray that the boys and girls will be very much blessed through this week. We pray especially for their hearts and souls, Lord, that you will do a mighty work in the lives of boys and girls who hear the messages and who learn the Bible verses and who sing the songs throughout this week. I pray that the word would sink into their hearts, and Lord, that little lives will be changed. And Lord, that any who are not saved would seek you as the only way to be saved and to get to heaven. So Lord, please bless each boy and girl. Please bless the families that they represent. We pray, Lord, that you will just help us this week and give the boys and girls attentiveness and the ability to learn the things that are being taught, and that they would never forget it, Lord. I pray that it would change their lives even, and that they will always remember the things that they have done and learned in VBS. So Lord, we just are so thankful for your goodness to us. Please bless us and please help us this week and be with us for the rest of this day. For I pray in Jesus' precious and holy and worthy name. Amen.